This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. And on Africa News Tonight, an internet technology outage has caused major disruptions across the globe. Hence, leading Democrats are pressuring President Biden to abandon his re-election bid. And talks to de-escalate the conflict in Sudan have failed. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. An IT outage across the globe has caused major disruptions at airlines and other travel spots, as well as banks, hospitals, and even food chains like McDonald's. Underscoring the world's increasing dependence on computers, some airlines and other services were forced to switch to manual operations. Microsoft has attributed the glitch to an update to an antivirus program, explaining further on its website that the problems affected users of its Azure cloud platform running the cybersecurity software CrowdStrike Falcon. Christopher Painter, an associate fellow at the International Security Program at Chatham House, explained what happened. Painter said Microsoft pushed out the update as part of its system, but it was updating this computer security software, and there was a glitch in the code in the update that then caused all these computers to crash. The problem stretched from the United States to Africa and beyond. Operations slowly but steadily began resuming several hours after they began. The problem stretched from the United States to Japan. Operations slowly but steadily began resuming several hours after they began. As some leading Democrats pressure incumbent President Joe Biden to abandon his re-election bid, Republicans are among those speculating about who might replace him on November's ballot to face their nominee, former President Donald Trump. VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Herman was at this week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee and filed this report.
One of the chants at the Republican National Convention, Joe must go. If Joe does go, bowing to pressure from his own party ahead of next month's Democratic National Convention, Republicans have predictions about who would take his place.
According to the rules, if they follow them, it would be Kamala Harris until they got to convention, and then they might broker.
The brokering that Arizona Republican Lori Klein Corbin references is an open convention with more than one round of voting. The last time the Democrats had to do that and having it result in a general election victory was 1932 with the election of Franklin Roosevelt. Republicans who were in Milwaukee had some surprising names as to who could emerge as the eventual Democratic nominee.
I think Jill would run. I think she'd run.
That's interesting.
And she would do better than her husband.
That's Rochelle Brooks, an alternate delegate from Texas, who was discussing the possibilities with Delegate Tian Tran from California.
Gavin Newsom is another name after Michelle Obama and Kamala Harris.
Gavin Newsom is the governor of California. Michelle Obama, the wife of former President Barack Obama, has adamantly and repeatedly stated she has no interest in being a politician. Vice President Kamala Harris is seen as the most likely replacement for Biden by such Republicans as Alan Swain, the party's nominee for a congressional seat in North Carolina.
I think because of the financials and the last minute, if they do make a change, it's probably going to be Kamala Harris, the VP, and she'll have to pick a running mate. My prediction is it'll probably be the Michigan governor, Governor Whitmer.
The last sitting U.S. president who decided not to run for a second term was the Democratic Party's Lyndon Johnson amid the Vietnam War in 1968. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
As reported, the Republican National Convention ended Thursday night with a speech by the party's official presidential nominee, former President Donald Trump. He had been in the audience watching the convention all week, but Thursday was his first public speech since he was the target of an assassination attempt last Saturday. VOA Senior National Washington Correspondent Caroline Persuti brings us the sights and sounds from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I proudly accept your nomination for President of the United States.
Conventions always save their best for last. But here, even higher anticipation for the speech by the former president, given what happened 5 days ago. Donald Trump began his speech softer, subdued, and reflective about the pain he felt at Saturday's rally.
Wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet. And moved my right hand to my ear, brought it down. My hand was covered with blood.
During the convention week, this photo reminded delegates daily of their candidate, strong, resilient, not stopped by an assassin's bullet. He promised that strength to extend overseas. Trump said neither the war in Ukraine nor the Israel-Hamas conflict would have happened on his watch.
A growing specter of conflict hangs over Taiwan, Korea, the Philippines, and all of Asia, and our planet is teetering on the edge of World War III, and this will be a war like no other war because of weaponry.
He wrote his speech weeks prior, but now obvious changes, much more religious, given how close he came to death.
I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
A convicted felon with 34 counts against him, Trump accused the Biden administration of weaponizing the justice system, creating high inflation, and opening the border to drugs and criminals.
We want people to come into our country, but they have to come into our country legally. The next vice president of the United States.
In the presidential box was Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, selected this week as the former president's running mate. Also, Trump's wife, Melania Trump, her first time appearing at the convention.
On this journey, I am deeply honored to be joined by my amazing wife, Melania.
Political analysts like Shannon Bo O'Brien from the University of Texas see a Republican Party with a new inclusion message.
Look how diverse we are in some ways. Look how friendly we are in some ways. Look how chaotic the Democrats are. Look how unified and together we are. And we're a safer bet.
Trump did not deliver a strong message of unity, as analysts expected, but some delegates felt it.
Everyone's coming together, and, you know, we are the party of the people.
This delegate from Wisconsin wears a plastic cheese wedge as a hat.
We are so excited for this movement for a red wave and to get Donald Trump and J.D. Vance elected to the White House this year.
From here, the Trump-Vance ticket takes its message well beyond these delegates to Americans across the country. Caroline Persuti, VOA News at the Republican National Convention, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
VOA's Carol Van Dam was also covering the Republican convention in the U.S. state of Wisconsin in the city of Milwaukee. She was on the convention floor shoulder to shoulder with delegates while Donald Trump was delivering his speech last night. I first asked her if the Republican presidential nominee stuck to his theme of unity.
Well, Donald Trump started out talking about how he wanted to be president, not just for half the country, but the whole country, kind of like on that theme of this unifying message. But it quickly went in a different direction. He kind of went back to a lot of his negative rhetoric that he's so remembered for of the past few years. Within seconds after saying that about wanting to be president for the entire country, he spent a detailed amount of time. I mean, a good 25 minutes, I would say, about what happened in that Pennsylvania rally. And there were big pictures flashing on the screen behind him showing his bloodied ear and his bloodied face and his fist in the air that everybody has talked about this past week. And how he, when he did show that, the crowd erupted into fight, fight, fight again, and mentioned how it was just a quarter inch more away from his face, he could have been killed. He said, I would not be here with you. You know, he said, I was not supposed to be here tonight, possibly. And they said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. So it was that kind of night. But it was the longest speech in convention history, over 90 minutes. And it was, you know, quite a night for everybody. By the time he was done, it was a long night.
So what did the delegates have to say about the speech, some of them?
Well, I spoke to a handful of delegates about an hour into the speech while he was still delivering the speech on stage. And everybody I talked to had said, from Arkansas, from Illinois, from Alabama, they all had said the same thing, that, you know, they thought it was a great speech, that they felt that he was blessed, and that it was God's intervention, that he wasn't more seriously wounded or even killed on Saturday. And they firmly believe he's going to be the next president of the United States.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. The Biden administration is hailing a new 15-day truce in the volatile Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo after a previous truce fell apart. How can the Biden administration keep the peace, and what are the consequences if things fall apart again? VOA's Anita Powell reports from Washington.
The new truce aims to hold through August 3rd, the White House said, giving diplomats space to solve the spike in violence between the Democratic Republic of Congo and a rebel group that the United Nations says is backed by neighboring Rwanda. But experts on the ground say they're holding their breath and warning of the dire consequences of spiraling violence in this fragile region where conflict has displaced more than 940,000 people this year. The Biden administration believes this conflict, tucked in the northeast corner of the massive country, poses a real threat to global peace and security, a spokesman for Biden's National Security Council told VOA Thursday. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel emphasized diplomacy.
We're going to work closely with the government of the DRC, Rwanda, and Angola to support regional diplomatic efforts to reach a durable cessation of hostilities and set conditions for the voluntary return of displaced populations.
He did not give details when asked how specifically the Biden administration plans to work with Rwanda's government, which denies backing the rebel group. The last truce fell apart Monday with an incident in the town of Bweremana that killed four children, according to media reports. National Security Council spokesperson Adrian Watson condemned those killings, but added that parties to the conflict have largely respected the truce. Analysts and humanitarian officials say the situation in the capital of North Kivu, a dynamic town in the shadow of the ever-smoldering mountaineer Agongo, is unusually dire. That's a harsh assessment for a place used to fielding a constant barrage of knockout punches from both nature and humanity. In the last 20 years, Goma has weathered an Ebola outbreak and multiple volcanic eruptions. All this while hosting a constant stream of violent militant groups, including an increasingly powerful ISIS offshoot. Onus Forasimatumba is a Goma-based analyst with the International Crisis Group. On a Wednesday podcast on the subject, he said the town is now thronged with desperate, displaced people, begging for help.
La situation humanitaire est littéralement indescriptible.
He says that because this crisis is massive, this crisis is, I would say, gigantic. But as humanitarians rightly say, it is a forgotten crisis. Patel of the State Department also said Washington allocated more than $620 million in humanitarian aid to the nation in the 2023 fiscal year. Simatumba also cited fears that if diplomacy fails to keep the peace, conflict could suck in neighboring Rwanda and Uganda, nearby Burundi and Tanzania, and even, clear on the other side of Congo, its much smaller western neighbor, the Republic of Congo. He voiced concerns that the two major diplomatic efforts conducted in Luanda and Nairobi are struggling to materialize.
Donc on se dirigerait vers une catastrophe telle que on ne l'aura peut-être pas vécu.
We would be heading, he says, toward a catastrophe like we've never seen. He compares it to the burden placed on the whole continent during the Civil War of the 1990s, which he says drained Africa's armies from the upper reaches of the continent and into Congo.
Donc tout le monde retient son souffle.
So everyone is holding their breath, he adds, and everyone is trying to hold on to the diplomatic goings-on to avoid such a nightmarish scenario. For now, peace is still a dream for the people of this lush green slice of the world. It's a place that is rich and it knows it, not just in raw resources, but in the bounty of the lake that glows gloriously with the sun's rise. Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The sentencing Tuesday in Eswatini of two former members of parliament to decades in prison on charges of terrorism marks a significant escalation in the tensions between the monarchy and those advocating for democratic reform in the Southern African nation. Human rights group condemn the convictions, saying the court's decision raises questions about human rights and political repression. Pro-democracy activists say they are undeterred. Nokunaya Musi reports from the capital, Mbabena.
The convictions of former parliamentarians Mduduzi Bacete Mabuza and Mthandeni Dube, who were sentenced to prison terms of 25 and 18 years respectively, sent shockwaves throughout Eswatini and the international community. The two men were arrested in July 2021 during pro-democracy protests that were violently put down by security forces. Dozens were killed in the violence. They were pressing for reforms to a complex system of non-party elections that ensured Eswatini's ruler, King Mswati III, faced no meaningful dissent. Rights group Amnesty International urged Eswatini authorities to immediately quash what it called the unjust and baseless convictions and sentences of the former members of parliament. Alpheus Nxumalo, a spokesperson for the Eswatini government, told VOA's English to Africa service the convictions were discharged through the provisions of the law, which guarantees the rights of each and everyone who has been sentenced to appeal to a higher court. He added that Eswatini's international partners and friends should respect the country's sovereignty and rule of law. Thandaza Silolo, a spokesperson for the Swaziland Liberation Movement, SWALIMO, told VOA that despite the harsh sentences handed down by the Eswatini court, the country's pro-democracy movement remains resolute in its pursuit of democratic reform.
These MPs were strong inside the chambers of parliament and outside in calling to say we need a prime minister that has been elected by the people, not a prime minister that is being appointed by the king. And for that reason, they were sentenced, they were arrested and charged with heinous offenses as if they were criminals, they were murderers and terrorists. Yet these are just advocates for change. These are just people who have been calling for freedom. And we maintain as a movement that we support them and we will continue to push for their release.
Political analyst Sibusiso Nhlabathi sees the sentences as a major setback for democracy and human rights in Eswatini. He says the sentences are a classic example of guilty until proven innocent, with mere allegations being enough to secure a conviction.
See that the intention was to induce fear, and I think most of Eswatini will now live in that shadow of fear that, hey, we don't want to do what these people did. And even members of parliament will say, we don't want to do what the other members of parliament did because we might follow suit. So I think through this judgment, the state has successfully entrenched itself. It has successfully been able to threaten anyone who may want to raise a voice against the establishment.
According to human rights activist Lucky Dlamini, the harsh sentencing of the MPs signals a wider attack on democracy and human rights in Eswatini. He says the country is a dictatorship with the monarchy using state security forces to suppress dissent and violate fundamental human rights.
We remain under a cruel system of government, which is an absolute monarch, where there's immunity from the security forces against human rights activists and political activists and human rights defenders, where they cannot be able to access justice in the courts, where they cannot be able to hold on to demonstration, where they cannot exercise the freedom of the right to political participation, the right to freedom of expression, the right to freedom of access to the media, the right to freedom of assembly.
A lawyer for the two former MPs say they plan to appeal their sentences. Nokukhanya Musi, Mbabane, Eswatini.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
And the big breaking news today was an IT outage across the globe that caused major disruptions at airlines and other travel spots, as well as banks, hospitals, and even food chains like McDonald's. Underscoring the world's increasing dependence on computers, some airlines and other services were forced to switch to manual operations. Microsoft has attributed the glitch to an update to an antivirus program, explaining further on its website that the problems affected users of its Azure cloud platform running the cybersecurity software CrowdStrike Falcon. Christopher Painter, an associate fellow at the International Security Program for Chatham House, explained what happened. He says, Microsoft pushed out the update as part of its system, but it was updating this computer security software, and there was a glitch in the code in the update that then caused all these computers to crash. The problem stretched from the United States to Africa and beyond. Operations slowly but steadily began resuming several hours after they began. The problem stretched from the United States to Japan. Operations slowly but steadily began resuming several hours after they began. Painter said fixing the problem requires manual resets, a laborious procedure that could take a few days. In North America, major airlines, including Delta, United, and American, grounded all their planes early Friday due to what the Federal Aviation Administration called communications issues. More than 1,400 flights were canceled across the U.S., with nearly 4,000 delayed as of mid-morning, according to data tracker FlightAware. The IT outage also affected the London Stock Exchange, delaying the opening of the FTSE 100, its main index, by about 20 minutes. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent, 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Adrius Rigas, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.